Hello, this is Finn Andrews from The Vales. I'm here with Hunter today talking about our new album, Asphodels.
Oh, fortune teller, don't tell me too much.
We last had you on Totally Wired back in March of 2023. What have you been up to since your last album came out, and what's changed for you since then?
I mean, that tour was one of the best experiences of my life. I think that we were all feeling very pent up after years of the COVID stuff and everyone being unable to tour over there, and realizing these venues and the people as well, these friendships we've made after years and years of doing that circuit around Europe since I was 17. Yeah, realizing the enormous kind of hole in our lives, not being able to see them and play those places. And so it was a really euphoric tour over there, really reinvigorating, so much so that we sort of came back from it and then just made, you know, another album immediately.
In silence, oh,
in the early days of this album, what were you initially thinking? You know, what was your approach to starting it?
I think of it in a more negative way, probably, generally, which is like this, there's always this process of like repairing the damage you feel like you've done, or correcting the errors that you've made. I think every record's felt like that, like, oh, you kind of are so frustrated with decisions you made or songs that you kind of felt like you could have treated differently, or all these sort of mixture of, there's pride in it too, but a lot of regret always, and frustration with myself, and trying to kind of learn as much as you can from each experience of making a record. By the end of it, you can't help but kind of see the cracks everywhere. And so I don't know if I really think about it like, what haven't I done? You know, what avenue can I sort of pursue this time? It's more like this process of correction or atonement. Like the last album was a 15-track concept album, and this, which we spent 3 years making, and this one is a 9-song album that we made in 4 days. So I think that was very much an antidote to the experience of the last one as well. And like, could we just make something quickly, record it to tape in a very sort of old school, strict kind of way, play the songs 2-3 times, and it's done, and then move on. You know, that was sort of the idea, I suppose. I suppose after stewing, that last album was so stewy, and it was nice just to kind of, okay, here are the songs, that, you know, we've played them, we know what we're doing, go and record it, move on. Consciously don't have a fucking clue what I'm doing, but I think there is something in me that has an idea that is working towards something. I just have to kind of gently shepherd that along, and trust that there is a part of me somewhere that knows something about what I'm doing. Because consciously, you just feel very, I always feel very overwhelmed and sort of confused a lot of the time. You're kind of trying to work out what the songs are telling you, yeah, where they're telling you to go. I've gotten a lot more trusting of that process now.
Looking at the final collection of songs then, how would you say you feel about the final product?
I feel proud of it, I think, because every other record I've made, so much time has gone into it. Rehearsing and recording, and I think, yeah, this is difficult to articulate. I think, like, when I was first making albums, I thought, like, this album needs to encompass everything I think about everything. I guess because you don't think you're ever going to make another one. And there's great things that come from working in that way, trying to just like, if you only made one album, what would you say? And how would you say it? And the, sort of the urgency that comes from that is great. But also there's this sort of crippling anxiety that you're not going to be able to say everything that you want to say in this one thing. And at least for me, that's sometimes been a hard like load to carry. So this, I think there's something with this one that is still trying to talk about, trying to articulate these big questions, but it's a little more relaxed than other records of ours. It sort of isn't trying to say everything at once. It's kind of just thinking about one thing in this slightly calmer way, and I think it allowed me to talk about these things more clearly and less in a sort of panicked state that what if I never get to talk about any of this ever again. Yeah, so I guess that's a form of growing up, maybe. Maybe it means it is the last record I'll make. I don't know. It's like there's something, it resolves. There's a lot of resolution in this album for me, and a lot of songs. I've been trying to write songs like these for a long time, and I felt like it's the first time I've come this close. As the concrete after rain.
Concrete after rain.
Could you talk us through where you did the recording for this record, you know, and the team you had around you?
Yeah, that was all at Roundhead, Neil Finn's beautiful studio, which is just such a gift to Auckland and to the country. It's just so fantastic in there, and that allowed us to do this the way we wanted to, really, because it's just, everything sounds so great very easily in there, especially if you record the way we did, which was just, you know, use all the beautiful old vintage equipment and go through that beautiful old Neve desk and onto the beautiful tape machine, and it's all just completely set up for that kind of recording, despite the fact that it's rarely used in that way. So it was, yeah, we didn't have to try to make it sound good. It just sounded great, and we just had to play the songs. We had the wonderful Cass Basil. She's playing bass, and she'd been with us on the European tour, so she knew a lot of these songs very well. And yeah, Victoria Kelly, who I was sort of gifted this friendship with when we were doing my solo record 6 years ago or whatever. I met her to write the arrangements for that, but she's become very central to this as well, and we sort of wanted to, she's sort of given me this insight into the world she occupies, I suppose, which is between the kind of classical and the more whatever kind of music I make is sort of more, I don't know, the non-classical world. And hanging out with her a lot and having this friendship, I suppose, as well, it's such a transparent medium, this. I think the friendship with her, the working relationship with her as well, has really affected this album to the point where I was, you know, when I was getting the songs ready to record, you know, I was just leaving so much space for her and treating the strings less like this sort of thing you just go and add on at the end to make things sound epic or sad, which is kind of often how strings are used in rock music. I really wanted them to be like another member of the band and to fill the space that was left. We didn't have a keyboard player or a guitarist, so there was a lot of space, a lot of sonic landscape that was free for her to occupy. To the land beyond this world we know, there's a path beyond this ragged. I wanted to open with Asphodels, which is like the quietest, most fragile little thing. But I was feeling, I was doubting myself a bit about that. That maybe that was just too, asking too much of people to kind of straight away be in this tiny intimate space, but she thought that was a great idea, and so I kind of she confirmed that for me. My dad sent me this poem called A Shed in County Wexford. It's beautiful. It's such a beautiful poem, and it has this little introduction, a little quote at the beginning of it, and that mentioned asphodels, and that was, it's a strange thing sometimes, it just takes up one word to sort of be the springboard into a whole song or a whole album, really. And that word, the song, came out of that immediately, and I think it's the most restrained sort of piece of music I've made, and it feels so fragile that it feels like it's just on the edge of falling apart. I'm really proud of that one. We filled the piano with felt, so sort of the whole thing just has this kind of rattly little piano thing that's sort of barely, everything sounds sort of underwater. But I thought, I think it's a nice way to bring people in. I think also as well, at this point, 7 albums in, if someone's listening to the record and that song puts them off listening to the rest of it, you know, they're probably, we probably weren't going to get them in the long run anyway.
Well, through the wood I walked, and barely made my way. Before I heard the muffled words that led me so astray, there I laid down and died, and set my spirit free. Well, to dive for pearls in the underworld was all was left for me. Oh, 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 oh. So through the wood I walk, left this world behind. I went down that track and could not look back for fear of what I'd find. And when my soul arrived, it looked just like they said, the ringing bells and the asphodels in the valley of the dead. Oh, oh, oh. What for my love now? And what for me to tell? Well, all memory fades in the Everglades, and I guess that's just as well.
Oh, Fortune Teller had been around for a while. We were playing this one on the last tour, and it was nearly, we actually recorded it for the album before, but didn't quite capture it. And then I think through touring it, it started to make more sense. And then I did a whole tour in through the States on my own as well. So we sort of had to play these things in this very sparse way. I mean, that was pretty integral to this album, really, was playing a lot of these songs on my own. It was really good for the songs, I think. So kind of, it made me lean into the restraint of them. Yeah, really treat them in this restrained way, which I think also kind of comes out of my imposter syndrome when I started. It was just like, you can hear it a lot on some of the earlier records, you know, there's just this like, I'm just so terrified of everything that I'm doing and just trying to like compensate for that or something. I don't know. I never wanted to just, it felt like restraint was sort of, would allow people to see me too much or something. So everything was just quite bombastic all the time. So I think that speaks to perhaps a new confidence with that, to try and, the power of restraint is a powerful thing.
Oh, fortune teller, don't tell me too much. Cross it with silver, with silver we touch. Oh, oh, oh. Happy ever after, or with no laughter to show. You tell me all about it, and I don't doubt it. I just let it grow and grow. We say it in silence, in silence. Say it in silence, in silence.
That was one of the last songs written for the record. We played it a little in Australia. We did a few shows over there. I think that was the only time we played it. Oh, we played it at Others Way as well. I think that was the first time we played it here in Auckland. I think when I was younger, I kind of hated records that, I didn't hate them, But I felt like there was a wasted opportunity when bands would sort of have this, have an idea and then just do it 12 times in different ways on the record, and that was it. And like, as which you can hear that I was bucking against that on our early records, because it's so intense, the changes in tone and sort of putting these really quiet little ballads next to these fucking terrifying sort of I think as I've gotten older, I enjoy listening to a record from start to finish that doesn't sort of sometimes make me have to turn some bits down, or there's something nice about, there's an experience to be had with that. So though I don't feel like we've done the same thing over and over with this one, I'm hoping it is I think also the coherence of doing things quickly is really helpful. When you've spent a long time on things and you've recorded lots of songs, you can end up with these things that are a little, that aren't all that coherent together. Whereas this, just by the nature of recording something in 3 days, everything sounds very unified, and so that gets rid of some issues as well.
Far across the water, out of sight of land, clinging to my last hope with a rock in my left hand. Let it come without a warning, let it run without a plan. Out among the breakers, in the sediment and sand, lead me to the ladder, to anywhere instead. Out across the water, of the river of the day, lead me to the ladder, black amethyst and blade. Out across the water, in the valley of the day, lead me to the ladder. Lead me to the ladder. To the ladder, lead me to the ladder. Woven through this abiding pain, a single thread shines bright again. Thunder raging high on the hill, darkness moving for the kill. Lead me to the ladder, to anywhere instead. High across the water, the river of the day. Lead me to the amethyst and blade, out across the water, the valley of the day. I'll meet you at the ladder. I'll meet you at the ladder. I'll meet you at the ladder.
That's a really old song. So I wrote this, I'm in the process of writing this musical, but I haven't got it together enough. There's just this big hole in it and I can't work out what to do with it. But The Dream of Life is the opening song in this. Originally thinking I wanted to do it like a sort of theatre production rather than like a film. And so the opening was going to be this big, I wanted to involve some sort of puppetry. And so I liked the idea of this sort of puppet fetus singing this song. That was going to be the opening anyway. But I don't know. I think I've probably been working on it for about 12 years now on and off, and it still hasn't. I can't finish it. So maybe that will never happen. So I thought, and I really loved the song, so I thought, well, I can put it out now, and if the musical happens, then great. And if it doesn't, then, you know, at least the song has had its life.
On one day I was born, and someday I must die. Between immensities of darkness, we are walking in the light. How long the dream of life? Well, not long the dream of life. Not for some the dream of life, when everything must die. How sweet the dream of life, and to complete the dream of life, well, everything must die. How charmed the dream of life, to know how the dream of life, right in your palm the dream of life.
Yeah, this is just a gentle little meditative little song. I really love this one. I wrote it really quickly. It's a weird key for me. We tried to find different keys to sing it in. I sing it quite low. I don't really know why I decided to sing it quite so low, but it's very low for me. This is another one. Yeah, where there's just so much space for Victoria to fill, and she's wrote this. Yeah, she wrote a beautiful little arrangement in there. But it's just it's a fragile little contemplative creature.
The wind takes its time and then leaves. Well, in some strange service to pain, we're in love with a hurt we can't. My state of mind ain't been right. Well, my sorrows left me that night. If you don't know it by now, you're gonna learn it somehow. Now I'm getting getting carried away. I was king of the world yesterday. Had every need met and more. But good isn't what I'm good for. Well, the answer's easy to find. And the sum will be yours in. You don't know it by now. You're gonna learn it somehow. There's plenty more dirt in the ground and an ocean of hurt to go around. How much more can it take? Love is a spell I can't break. Though the sum ain't easy to learn, it'll bring you the world in return. If you don't know it by now, you're gonna learn it somehow. If you don't know it by now,
this one was recorded very differently to all the others. I recorded it at home on my, this was sort of the demo. We just used the demo. So it's got my kind of tinkly, slightly out of tune piano in it. Again, it's a slight twist, this song, I think. It's not exactly where you think you're ending up with the record. And it's sort of a little more in, sort of relies less heavily on these sort of old sort of mythologies and things. It's very much in the kind of real here and now. Yeah, I guess I wanted, yeah, this song sort of represents, like, yeah, the real world, and which sounds silly, but I think I'm often not in the real world completely in the songs, and I'm often someone else, or I've sort of put on some kind of character for these songs to talk about the real world, but I'm often not completely in it. Because I think the song is content to be in the here and now with me, which I thought was a nice place to for the penultimate song.
Well, I saw the rain come down. Behind the rolling thunder, yeah, I saw the rain coming down. As I stood outside in wonder, more than anything in this world, more than love and old regret, more than anything in this world, more than the dreams I can't forget. I see the concrete after rain. I see the concrete after I saw the whole world drown, long beyond the light and thunder. Yeah, I saw the whole world drown. As I stood there in awe and wonder, How could anything in this world turn these city streets to gold? How could anything in this world be as simple to behold as the concrete after rain? Concrete after rain,
Was it a real 90s thing, the like, the summing of what, the feeling I like, the last song of an album to give me feels like it's because I'm someone who grew up listening to music in the 90s. I don't know if that's true, but there's, I like a stately resolve. And this one very much gives you that. And it feels like from another time completely, that song. I don't know where it came from. I wrote it in one sitting and just sort of, yeah, felt like this little message in a bottle from another time and place completely. And I feel like there aren't many songs like that anymore. It felt yeah. It's like where did this one travel from? I think, yeah, touches on the kind of the subjects that the rest of the record has been dealing with as well, with a little sort of optimism in there as well. So yeah, it felt like the perfect final song.
There's a land beyond this world. We know there's a land. There's a land beyond this world. Below, there's a land beyond this world we know. There's a home beyond this jagged hill. There's a bridge beyond this sorrow. There's a land beyond this world we know. There's a land. There's a light we can't but follow to the land beyond this world, below to the land beyond this world we know. There's a path beyond this ragged ridge, and I'll meet you there tomorrow in the land beyond this world. Land. There's a land beyond this world. We know there's a land that has no end.
Hi, this is Finn Andrews from the Vales. I'm here on the wonderful BFM, the greatest radio station on earth.